So when in 2009, I think it was, our ad agency, after being around for 36, 37 years, decided for different reasons they were closing. I had clients who said, "You're not going to leave me, right?" I was like, "Well, I'm not buying the ad agency." But I thought, well, yeah, I want to take care of them. But I just did never think of myself as an entrepreneur. I never thought of myself as owning my own business.
Hello and welcome to the Small Business School. My name is Craig Staley, 20-year retail veteran, e-commerce practitioner, and entrepreneur. Each week, I will interview a new small business owner that we can learn from to take our businesses to the next level. Now, let's go. I am excited for my guest today. Her name is Melody Tholstrup. She's the owner and operator of My Size Marketing in Madison, Alabama. It was great talking to Melody today. She's worked in marketing for over 25 years and it shows. This episode is packed with tips and takeaways, and I'm excited for you to hear some practical yet unconventional advice that she gave a real estate broker that led her to her dream of opening a bakery. So without further ado, Melody Tholstrup. All right. I'd like to welcome my next guest today, Melody Tholstrup of My Size Marketing. How are you today, Melody?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Why don't you get started by giving the audience a little bit of your personal background?
So I am from Alabama, born and raised here, and I actually went to college on a theater scholarship. So I had not necessarily aspirations for Broadway, but I did know that I liked getting in front of people. But the more I took business classes and English classes, I knew that I wanted to go into something more communications oriented. And so when I got out, I worked in retail for a while and learned a lot about marketing and didn't realize that's what I was learning, because marketing is so many different things. But if you've worked in retail, you're learning it from the ground up. So after that, then I moved around the state with a department store in management, and then I ended up in ad sales for a magazine publishing company. Again, small owned company, loved working for mom and pop company, and learned how to sell and work with just about any type of business, because we had multiple magazines, so we sold to multiple clients. So I worked with everything from banks to restaurants, to universities, to car dealerships, to you name it, I work for them. So, and again, learning it as I go and in the sales, I learned what they needed to grow their business. They would tell me, you know, this is what works, what doesn't work. So I took it all in, and we even did events and so forth. And then I got the opportunity to work in an ad agency, and that's what I'd always wanted to do. And I worked actually two over the last 30 years, and they were both amazing. Again, you know, mom and pop kind of level businesses, but they were savvy and they were smart and they knew how to take care of clients. And I got to work with some bigger companies, and that was really exciting. So when in 2009, I think it was, our ad agency, after being around for 36, 37 years, decided for different reasons they were closing. I had clients who said, "You're not going to leave me, right?" I was like, "Well, I'm not buying the ad agency." But I thought, well, yeah, I want to take care of them, but I just did never think of myself as an entrepreneur. I never thought of myself as owning my own business. So I went to a local resource, a nonprofit called Women's Business Center of North Alabama at the time. And they taught me a lot. And they said, "You can do this. You know, you just need a good accountant and you need, you know, business license." And they kind of got me started. But I loved the opportunity, because when I was at the ad agency, we would have small businesses come in and they'd want to work with us and they couldn't afford us. And it would break my heart to turn them, you know, and say, "Well, here's how much it's going to cost." And they'd get so excited, and then they'd see that, you know, that price tag. So this was kind of a God's way of saying, "Well, maybe you can finally work with somebody that can afford you, because you're not, it's just me." I didn't, you know, yeah. I had resources and freelancers, but I didn't have to charge these prices. So that turned into a blessing, and it's been almost 10 years. I started in 2011. So next year I'll be celebrating 10 years of owning my own business.
That's awesome. And it sounds like it just kind of happened naturally. You had some great relationships built up, and that's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah. Finding resources is the key. I think knowing you're not alone and learning who can help you and how you can, you know, take all that in and then turn around and maybe help somebody else. And it helps you learn it even better. So I became a coach as a volunteer. And the more I coached other people, the more I learned. And the mm-hmm. more I learned what I wanted and what I didn't want for my business. So that's been a blessing too.
That's great. I noticed that you host a mastermind group, and I know, you know, I've never been a part of one. I've seen mastermind groups. Can you tell the audience what a mastermind group is and maybe why they're effective for business owners at any level?
Yes. And that is a great question, because when I started mine, I didn't know that that's what it was. I actually had the idea of getting a bunch of my coaching clients, my one-on-one coaching clients, at the nonprofit. I said, is there any way I can get these people all in one room and we can talk about all these same issues they're having with their marketing? Because I'm hearing a lot of the same questions. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can, you know, and I'll talk to, you know, Jane over here who had a great solution for her business. And then Joe over here who had a different solution. And that would be great for them to share. But then I can guide them from this expert level of, you know, looking at all of it. And so I was talking to a friend at the time. She goes, oh, you want to start a mastermind? I was like, okay.
I guess I do.
I looked that up. I was like, yes, I do. That is what I want to start. So in November of 2017, I asked a few clients and people that I had worked with that said, would you be interested in meeting a couple times a month and then meeting with me one-on-one, and you would pay me this fee and it'd be cheaper than hiring me as your marketing director or marketing consultant. But you can meet other people and I can guide you and I can help you set some goals and learn some of this and how to do it yourself. And that was, like I said, November, and I formed my first group. And then last year I formed a second group. And then when the COVID hit, and we do it quarterly, it's a 90 days, every 90 days, it kind of put a wrench in it. And we can talk about that later. But now we're doing it Zoom. So it's all one group again for right now. We try to keep them small, 10 or less people. And we go through and talk about our successes first, what's working for everybody. And then we talk about the challenges, what's everybody's challenge. And then what is one thing that they want to achieve that week, that month, that quarter, we break it all down. And so I hold them accountable. Like, you know, we meet one-on-one in addition to that, which is a little different. Not every mastermind group does that. But the goal that I hear from all of them, all the testimonials I've gotten, is I love being able to share in a safe place. I love having people say, oh my gosh, I would have done exactly what you did. Or have you ever thought about doing it this way? Or I would love to support you in that. And just feeling this wonderful support from people who are in the same boat as you. And I love being in charge of it because I get to help them realize that maybe sometimes when they haven't met all their goals, they're really still moving forward and they just are so close to it, they can't see it. Mm-hmm. So it's a unique kind of mastermind, but I it's my favorite thing that I've ever done in my whole life.
That's awesome. I mean, it sounds like a little bit of support, a little bit of accountability, you know, a lot of sharing from everybody, and, you know, everybody can gain something from each person's expertise.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So you've worked with a lot of small businesses, it sounds like. Tell me one thing that you think a lot of small businesses maybe aren't doing today that they should start doing tomorrow as far as marketing goes.
So I just taught a workshop. That's something else that I do for not just my mastermind group, but for anybody who's interested. And I taught one recently on five key things that if you can do this, you can get your marketing back on track after all this, you know, whatever just hit us all mm-hmm. like that truck. And one of the things that I feel like is really key that a lot of people, even experienced business owners, don't always do is writing down their target customer, like putting it on paper and saying, this is who I'm going to spend the next 30, 60, 90 days trying to reach and market to and get, you know, sales from. Mm-hmm. Because so many people I coach say, you know, I can reach everybody or I can take care of this big, broad spectrum. And I call it, my theory is, let's go from the floodlight to the laser beam, mm-hmm. because you can get a lot more done with that laser beam. And if you can just narrow your focus just a little bit, and it's not like you're not going to take care of those customers if they come along, but the people you're going to spend your money and your energy trying to get, if that is a good fit for you, if that's a good customer that's going to really benefit from your solution that you're providing, mm-hmm. you're just going to spend less money and less time. And then those customers will help you find more of those same customers.
Sure.
If you just try to reach everybody, nobody's going to win. It's just, you're never going to make an impact anywhere.
Yeah, you can't focus on everybody.
So I just feel like writing down is such a powerful tool anyway, your goals, your business plan, whatever, but your customer, describing who that is, looking at it every day, looking at every time you make an ad buy, every time you make an ad on Facebook or Instagram, thinking of that person in your mind. I just think that's a powerful tool that a lot of people aren't doing.
That is really good advice. So obviously you've been in the marketing world for a long time. You have your own business. What tools have you found particularly helpful in your business?
Well, Zoom is my new best friend.
Everybody.
I feel like we all like need to buy stock in Zoom or something.
For sure. Or at least 3 months ago, we should have bought stock.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no, they're my new best friend. I do remember when I discovered Canva, which is a software design tool, because my daughter's actually she's in college and she's got another year of graphic design. And I have worked with some of the most talented graphic and web designers in my history in my business, but I am not one. I have no desire to be one, but you can't always go to one of those awesome people when you need it, especially with social media changing so rapidly. So when I discovered Canva and I took a course and then I bought the pro and I started just trying everything they had, I was like, this is the best thing since sliced bread. And I know there's similar tools and I can't remember the names of them, but anything that helps you create the perception that you're the same level as some people who can't afford a graphic designer, I think that's a gift for small businesses. And I think it's like $12 a month for the pro. It is worth every penny. So that's one of my favorites. MailChimp is one of my favorite email tools, but they're, just an email in general is, I think, as long as you have one. What was the other thing that I just tried that I really liked? Oh, well, I mean, and not marketing, but in QuickBooks, the QuickBooks Self-Employed, where you can track your mileage and expenses and then sync it with your QuickBooks for your, for tax purposes. That's been something I've enjoyed using too.
Great. Well, those are all good tools. I use Canva myself and I've used Photoshop in a past life, not very effectively, I might add. And Canva is so much easier. Drag and drop. They have so many templates and it just makes doing social media and other things so much easier.
Yes,
so you hit the nail on the head on that one. What would you say has been the biggest challenge that you faced in business and what did you do to overcome it?
Well, right now has been the biggest challenge. Well, seriously though, it's ironic. I have been doing in-person coaching, in-person masterminds, in-person workshops, and loving it. I have obviously had that theater background. But I love to read body language and I love to engage people and connect people. So when we went to this now all virtual at first, in fact, before this, people were saying, oh, you need to go virtual. You need to go online. And I said, no, I'm good. I just want to get in front of people because I just felt like I was giving them more benefit when I was in front of them, whether it was just teaching them how to use something on their computer or just working with them. But I will say that this has been, obviously for bad reasons, it's been a challenge for everybody. And I've had some clients who have struggled, financially. But it's been a blessing because it's pushed me to learn that I can help people wherever and I want to, and I don't need to limit myself. And so, just kind of having to reformulate how my business looks, still doing what I want to do, but just in a different virtual format and different things. So this has really been the biggest challenge I've had in 10 years, but I feel like it's going to be a good thing. I'm going forward. It's going to be a good thing. It's all going to be, I told my husband last night, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. And so this is exciting and it's good to be out of your comfort zone. So,
yeah. And it's definitely pushed us to be out of our comfort zone and learn some lessons along the way that we would have avoided in past easier times. So
exactly.
Definitely a great answer there. If you had to choose, what would you say is the best moment in your business's history so far?
Oh, gosh. I have several, but they all tie into when a client tells me, thank you. I couldn't have done this without you. I couldn't have gotten this far without you. I couldn't have achieved this without you. Or thank you for introducing me to that other person or that resource that, I'll tell you a good example. I had coached a client when she first started her cake baking business and she was doing it out of her home. I think she had been a mortgage broker. And I met her when I was a volunteer coach And we stayed in touch and stayed in touch. And one of the things we had brainstormed one day in her coaching session was, you know, you might want to work part-time at a local bakery and just see how they do it and see what they, how they, you know, what tools they use and what cost-efficient ways and what, you know, who they shop from. And I didn't hear from her for a while. I didn't see her for a coaching session. And all of a sudden I was in the grocery store in town and I hear my name called and I look over there and she's there behind the counter and she goes, I took a job here and I'm working here and I've learned so much. And she was only there maybe 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so fast forward, I think it was November 7th now. So this coming November will be 2 years. She opened her retail store and she had me let me know all along the way, you know, here's where I'm looking. Here's, and so when she had that open, you know, that what do you call it? Ribbon cutting.
Grand opening. Yeah.
And everybody was there. It was like my child had graduated, mm-hmm. you know, college. I mean, I was so proud of her and so excited for her and just to be part of that journey. And she won an award that I helped her apply for. And, you know, just that's what I love about my job is just helping people get to that next level and knowing that they can do it and feeling confident they can do it and helping them along the way.
That's great. Who do you consider a mentor and what would you say is the most important lesson they've taught you?
So I had some great bosses in my life. And I have to say, I've had men and women, but most of the ones that I think about were women. And they all taught me just more by doing than saying is never be afraid to ask for help. If you are leading other people, you will work as hard or harder than they will. And that's, they need to see that, you know, you can still lead people and work down beside them, you know, side by side. And I remember thinking that was really important. And just even Zig Ziglar, who I never met, I heard him speak, but I was just quoting him on social media when he said, you know, when you help enough other people get what they want, you'll be a success. And that's kind of been my driving mantra. Is my goal is how can I help you? Because when I help you, we all win.
Exactly. So,
all the bosses that I've worked for, I've really been blessed with some great bosses. And they had that, I think they had that philosophy. They may not have said it, but I knew that everything they gave me to do or told me to do or encouraged me or even critical, you know, constructive criticism was all to make me better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thankful and blessed to have worked with all of them.
Well, that's great. If you could hop into a time machine and go back to the day that you launched My Size Marketing, what advice would you give your past self?
Gosh, you know, I remember being really nervous because I never wanted to work for myself. Mm-hmm. I always thought I'd work for other people. I think I had said that very clearly several times, but I would probably say, you know, don't be afraid and learn everything you can, you know, not that I wasn't, but, you know, as things start to come in that look new and different and you kind of are nervous about them, go ahead and learn about them. Learn about mm-hmm. every social media outlet, everything that comes across your desk. Even if you don't use it, just learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more I learn, the more now that I'm coaching, I can teach. And I didn't know that at the time. I thought, well, things I know now was enough for my clients. And now I wish that I had learned. I pushed myself to learn faster, sooner, so that I could maybe help them even more. So probably that would be it.
It's a good lesson. So you have been gracious enough to offer a free 30-minute MAP marketing strategy session to anyone from any of the listeners that connect with you. Can you explain what a MAP marketing strategy session consists of?
Yes, yes. And so we were talking about the mastermind group. So my mastermind program, I live in a town in Huntsville, Alabama, which has NASA and has Department of Defense. So we have a lot of acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured acronym was a way to maybe connect with people. So my goal with my mastermind was to have that accountability. We would learn about marketing and we would come together, right? So I call it MAP, Marketing Accountability Partners. And now we've just shortened it to MAP and I have a logo that people see now. It's kind of our little seal. And so the MAP is kind of the overarching program now. Our coaching sessions one-on-one are MAP related as far as the way we structure it. The mastermind is the MAP mastermind. And then the workshops are MAP related because they're all things that we are learning in MAP, but maybe just we're taking a detour over here and learning about just this one thing mm-hmm. for that workshop. So the MAP strategy session is that kind of that kickoff place where the client can do a little assessment. I can read a little bit about what they're struggling with, what their challenges are, what they really want to accomplish. And if nothing else, maybe give them some, you know, some new ideas, some things they can look at, and then also offer them opportunities through the coaching and the mastermind if they're interested so that they can join in and get the full benefits.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for doing that. And I'll make sure to link that in the show notes so everybody knows where to go to get that offer. Where else can our listeners find out more about your business?
So again, my website is mysizemarketing.com. And I am on all social media at My Size Marketing. You know, at Instagram is at My Size Marketing, Facebook, My Size Marketing. I guess LinkedIn, you can just find me under Melody Tholstrup or Melody Gray. I promise you, I'm the only Melody Tholstrup on LinkedIn. I would bet a dollar.
So, I'm going to check after this episode.
That's right. So there's a My Size Marketing page on LinkedIn, but it's probably quicker to go just to my LinkedIn profile. But I'm on Pinterest now, and I'm starting to, that's another thing I've been learning and trying to help learn for myself as well as help my clients, but that I'm on there as well. But probably Facebook and LinkedIn are the quickest ways in Instagram. But and I have an email. So if they go to my website, there's also a free cheat sheet. It's kind of like marketing cheat sheet with 10 things that might help you with your business or will help you if you want to do them. And if they sign up for that and then get on my email list and they can know about workshops and things, which before, you know, I didn't really offer that outside of our area. Well, now all of our workshops are virtual. So anybody that signs up for the newsletter can take part in the workshops if they're interested. Oh, and I'm on Eventbrite. Also, if they want to follow me at My Size Marketing on Eventbrite.
There's the positive again from the pandemic. It's taught us we can do it virtually. It expands our reach a little bit. So that's awesome.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining me tonight, Melody. I've really appreciated talking to you. It's been awesome.
Well, thank you, Craig. And I appreciate the opportunity. And I look forward to hearing all your other guests as they come through in your great Small Business School podcast.
All right. Well, thanks, Melody.
Being a marketer at heart, I really enjoyed my conversation with Melody today. When Melody talked about the concept of honing in on a particular demographic, there aren't many companies that can target large demographics, and I say target in air quotes, because to Melody's point, your marketing costs go up significantly. Let's say you want to create a dog accessory brand. You're going to sell harnesses and leashes and bandanas, let's say. And if you aim your product at every single dog owner, first, you're going to have to carry a bunch of different sizes because you're not going to fit a German Shepherd in the same harness as a pug. And of course, you'll need to carry a number of different colors and styles because an 18-year-old guy isn't going to choose the same style harness that a 50-year-old woman might want to select. On top of that, how are you going to market all the right colors and styles to all the right people? You'll need to have ads everywhere targeting everyone. Now, let's say you start that same dog accessory company, but this time you target millennial golden doodle owners in California. Now you only need maybe two sizes of harnesses. You can really focus the style of your product toward the millennial crowd. When you advertise, you could literally create an ad on Facebook that specifically targets women, since they make most of the buying decisions anyway, that are between 26 and 40 years old, live in California, and have liked a page or group on Facebook that's aimed at golden doodle owners. Now let's imagine that you are that golden doodle owner and you see this video in your Facebook feed, this video ad, and the video plays a 30-year-old woman with a golden doodle who's wearing a shirt that says California on it starts to speak. She says, "If you love golden doodles as much as I do, you're gonna love these pet accessories. They are so durable and they're the perfect size for my dog, and I just love the style." Do you think that will speak to you? Of course it will. It's perfectly targeted, and the cost of advertising will be cheaper to boot. Thanks for the great advice, Melody. If you're a small business owner or looking to start a business, join the Small Business School Facebook group. It's a private community of people focused on helping each other grow their businesses. Join the community and let's help each other take our businesses to the next level. We'll see you there. If you'd like to learn more about our guest today or be a future guest on the Small Business School, go to craigstaley.com/podcast for more info. And of course, it would mean the world to me if you'd click subscribe or write a review for the Small Business School in your podcast app of choice. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.